Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our best interviews are often highlighted right on the main screen? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Bill Gross at PEMCO, your thoughts on the numbers that just came out, Bill?
Well, right in the middle. I mean, it's what we should have expected. 1-2% real growth, which is where we are, promotes 100 to 150,000 monthly job gains. And after the revisions, that's basically what we've seen this month. It's enough to basically hold the unemployment rate in check. It went up a tick. But, you know, I think the important thing is it allows for the possibility of what we call stall speed, which is a situation where corporate profits flatline or go down and investment, hiring, and wage growth follows suit. And so in the face of that, in the face of high household debt and 10% fiscal deficits, it's a dangerous situation which may be difficult to reverse.
So does the Federal Reserve wait for the August figure, which comes out in early September? They want to see one more month before they do anything?
Well, I don't think they can keep waiting and waiting. I think this week's meeting was really a setup for Jackson Hole, which is an important discussion point and probably a moment of release in terms of, you know, future policies going forward. The topic of the entire week it basically is focused on monetary policy, and I think we're going to see some, maybe not significant changes, but certainly some additional elements put into place there.
You mean Bernanke will give us a hint?
Oh, I think he will. Of course, they can't do anything at Jackson Hole, but I think he will hint towards, you know, an innovative policy, I suppose, that has been advanced in the United Kingdom, where the public and the private sector sort of join hands in a legal type of way, where the Fed can lend money to banks and banks can lend money to the private sector. I think Bernanke is really he's really excited about something like that.
Bill, I want to frame this within the new normal and this idea of nominal GDP. Bruce Kasman's J.P. Morgan shop with James Glassman has a sub 4% nominal GDP until you start your stamp collection again. And you know, that doesn't get it done, does it? Where is the unemployment rate in Gross and Ellerian's new normal economy?
I think when you have nominal GDP at 3.9% over the last 12 months and 3.1% for the last quarter, that the unemployment rate stays at 8%. You know, there's a legitimate debate as to what's the normalized rate of unemployment in a new normal type of world. And I don't think the Fed really has adjusted their models in order to get there. They're still working on 10 or 20 or 30 years of historical data, and they don't look at the last 2 to 3, which, you know, poses the real world in a delevering type of situation.
We'll speak later in the half hour with Bill Gross, folks, about the uproar over the future of bond and equity investment. But let's take that extrapolation right now, Bill. We need to extrapolate forward the American economic experience. It isn't what we remembered. The optimists want to push against you. What do they get wrong as they try to extrapolate back to 5% nominal GDP growth?
Well, basically, that we're in a high debt to GDP or a credit environment that basically has been stretched. What we've seen over the past 20 or 30 years is the financialization of not only the U.S. economy, but the global economy, but certainly the U.S. economy, which has promoted 70% consumption relative to GDP. Consumers have been able to borrow money, and that has propelled the economy forward. To the extent that they can't or don't want to do that anymore because there are limitations, then all of a sudden wheels don't spin in reverse, but they certainly slow down. It's almost like a sedan on a beach in which the wheels are spinning, but they're not going anywhere.
My answer is extrapolation is a difficult science. Futures up 15. They've improved off the jobs report. If you're just joining us, a mixed report. Ken, the unemployment rate up 8.3%. We got a good statistic for July. Shout out to Kit Jukes. I know, listening at SocGen in London, Kit Jukes absolutely nailed this report. Bill Gross didn't. Ken?
Yeah, well, our consensus was 100,000.
Either did Tom Keene.
Non-farm payroll jobs.
That's a low blow. You didn't ask me.
Yeah, well, I didn't nail it either.
Actually, came in at 163,000. How much longer, Bill, do we get no return on our savings, basically?
Well, for a long, long time. You know, this is a period of time going forward in which the government takes money from savers in order to give it back to levered institutions and levered individuals. You know, it's a financial repression environment. It's not our term. It's Ken Rogoff's term. But it's something that we should expect for the next 5 to 10 years. Historically, during World War II, it was a period that extended beyond a decade and ultimately, really, for 30 or 35 years until 1979, when Paul Volcker basically put a real return on savings as opposed to a negative return.
When you look at this bill, and let's spend a minute here, and then I really want to jump into this later. You got into a fist fight with Betty Lou yesterday. Over
not with Betty Lou.
Oh, but you got into an argument yesterday over the future of equity. There's a chart, folks, that everyone had on their wall 15 years ago. It's called the Ibbotson Survey, and all you need to know is the line went from the lower left corner to the upper right corner. You suggest we may not see that nostalgia again. Why not?
Well, you know, it's simply because, and let's start with bonds, because bonds yield 1.75% as opposed to 4 or 5 or 6% over the prior 10 to 15 years. And that's a precedent and a discounter for basically all asset prices. And let's just stick with bonds. If bonds only yield 1.75% for the next 5 to 10 years, basically what you see is what you get. And so investors, either in the bond market or the stock market, which is based upon that as well, you know, are in a period of low returns going forward.
Do you manage equities every day at PIMCO looking for a top line 6 or 7% return?
Well, we caution our customers and clients and investors that that's what they should expect. You know, obviously, there are periods of time with monetization and with the QEs where equities can do better or can do worse. But you know, ultimately, over a longer-term basis, you know, GDP, real GDP, is wealth creation in the real economy. And ultimately, in the financial economy, it should follow suit. I'm suggesting stocks do better than bonds because they're riskier than bonds, and they should have some type of advantage. But ultimately, if the real economy is only growing at 2%, how can we expect stocks, as in the last century, with the Siegel constant, to grow at 6.6% real? It's simply taking too much from the other entities, which is labor and government.
Well, any financial constant isn't like a Newtonian constant of the gravity between the Earth and the Moon. Bill, you're CFA, and let's get a little mathy here. You're a pro at diversification, over-diversification, under-diversification. There's a lot of good stocks out there. Are we over-diversified when we invest?
Oh, I think most mutual funds and most investors, you know, have a tendency to do that, to take you know, the name of the day or the name of the week and add to a already existing portfolio of 50 or 60 names. I think it can be done with a smaller number, that counting the chicks in the basket and taking care of them, if there are 5 to 10 chicks as opposed to 50 or 100, is probably a decent way to approach investing in any case.
Folks, I've known Bill Gross since time began. That's the single most important thing he's ever said to me.
Goodness.
What you just heard there, I heard it from Peter Lynch. I heard it from John Templeton. I've heard it from Bill Gross. Lynch's diversification is the major challenge that Siegel and Gross were arguing about yesterday. I'm in Bill Gross's camp, which is you got to be smart, you must be diversified, but less is better than more. I'm off my soapbox, Ken.
And I'm impressed. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Bill, let me ask you about consumers here. I mean, as they say, your biggest purchase you'll ever make is your house, and the next biggest is your car. And the news from housing has been looking better, and the automakers are on track for their best year since 07. Does that translate into GDP that's better than 1.5%, 2%?
Well, I think it certainly puts it in that direction. I mean, housing is much less of a percentage component of GDP than it used to be, but it does ultimately lead to appliances and those types of purchases. So yes, you know, to the extent that Ben Bernanke and company can work on those mortgage rates, and that's talking my book a little bit, but to the extent that they can bring down the 3.75% mortgage rate to perhaps 3.5 or 3, then you know, housing starts can be propelled even further. So yeah, going forward, housing and automobiles, you know, suppress less demand that has existed for the past 2 or 3 years ultimately adds a plus. But I think we should also be cognizant of leverage and the delevering that will be with us for 5 to 10 years, not just in the U.S., but globally.
Well, we keep hearing that, mortgage rates are cheap, but you can't get it. Because the banks, their credit standards are much higher than they used to be.
Right, very true. The down payment is a critical component. And if you're a 29-year-old starting a family, where do you get the 20% to basically get into the game? So that's a difficult proposition, and that speaks to the delevering, to the re-regulation, to the component of credit that is becoming very stingy.
Bill, I said yesterday that what I observed out of Europe was truly remarkable monetary economics. It was just stunning to see the buildup and then the collapse. What are the ramifications a week or a month from now of this tumultuous week for monetary theory?
Well, I think they're significant. The ECB's come down from the mountain without Moses' tablets. I think, Mario Draghi is just a mortal, and he's subject to the maybe someday pronouncements that his predecessor has had. And so, what the private market takes from that is simply an ongoing sense of uncertainty. And look at it this way, Tom. A 7% yield in Spain and a 6% yield in Italy, basically that's a scarlet 7%. And once it's on your chest, it's hard to get it off because investors look at it and they say, basically, stay away. And it's going to be very difficult to reinvigorate those markets with a sense of confidence to allow 3 or 4% yields to return.
Sir Howard Davies, and full disclosure, folks, I'm in the European Redemption Fund camp. Sir Howard Davies aggressively reaffirmed that today with Paul DeGraar's work at LSE, that forget about this. We got to go back to Maastricht. We've got to take the excess debt, make it true full faith and credit senior debt so PIMCO will buy it and get and move on for Europe. Are we anywhere near the elites of Europe forgetting about union and going back to 1999?
I don't think so. There's still the food fight, the ongoing food fight, the dysfunctional family. I think what you mentioned is the critical element, that the ultimate goal of monetary and fiscal policies for the EU to reengage the private sector, the PIMCOs of the world, not to put us on a level of importance, such as that, but the private sector has to come back to take the place of the public sector. And in order to do that, they need to basically have a set of rules that permits confidence to permeate the private sector.
Should we hold our breath, Bill?
Oh, I think we should. And I think if we're investing, that we should keep it very short in terms of maturity and, very clean in terms of the cleanest dirty shirts. And that still applies to Germany and some of the other countries in the north.
You've got a lot of, I'm going to call them young kids, very, very smart people on the equity desk. How have they responded to the revenue shortfall we've seen this earnings season?
Oh, I think we've expected that. We talk about this daily in terms of our investment committee. Our equity people are connected to us from New York and from London. And so we basically speak to a 1% to 2% GDP world in which, historically and certainly over the last several years, if you don't grow faster than 2%, then earnings don't grow. And so those expectations of 15% annually have been ratcheted down by the market, but were ratcheted down by us long ago.
Bill Gross, thank you so much. Get back to work with PIMCO,
okay.
His
Bill.
Perspective. Thanks for his appearances across Bloomberg Television and Radio in the past few days.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.